my Bible out. This is Paul closing his letter, offering praises for God for revealing a mystery that's now been revealed, now understood. You got glimpses of it, like in the movies. You got glimpses of what might be coming up, but you finally got to the end. You finally reveal who's behind the mask. And it's because of those pesky kids, I know. But this mystery concealed, and Paul is not, his words are concise, but they're really quite powerful. It's Paul, let's go back and look at those. Paul begins by praising, "Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel, holding us firm in the faith, equipping us to do just what Paul does in that passage, glorify God. To glorify God. And Christians are not left to our own strength. Praise God. Because where we are weak, he is strong. And it's in our weakness he has strength. And it flows through us. And the same power that raised Christ from the dead is the same power that's working in us to establish us, holding us firm in the faith, and equipping us to do just that, glorify God, so that our every life may be a living sacrifice, as Paul has said, a living sacrifice to glorify God. And this truth holds us firm, lets us stand firm, knowing the mystery of God's salvation is no longer hidden, but revealed in Christ. And we are empowered every day of our lives. Every day of our lives, empowered. It doesn't mean you're going to always feel good. It doesn't mean you're always going to feel happy. It doesn't mean you're always going to feel like it. But we're empowered in Christ to live for his glory. That even when you feel rotten, we can live for the glory of God. Even when you feel like giving into temptation, he has broken that chains of temptation and you can resist temptation. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And this truth, it encourages us. Live it out every day. And this doesn't have to say, well, I'm gonna live it out on this day when I go on my mission trip, right? But not this day when I don't. But it's a full time every day. While we're sitting watching the news, we can live out for the glory of Christ. While we're in the car driving and there's idiots on the road, we can live out for the glory of Christ. When we're at the gym or at school or at work or at the senior center or the grocery store or at the walking the block of your neighborhood, we can live out the glory of Christ. When you're in the shower, you can live out the glory of Christ. Because it's not a this is what I do for him. This is what it's. He wants us to live for him. Not just this is the moment that I've chosen to give my career to him, or this is what I. Your career is only part of you, but the whole of you is for the glory of Christ. And so we live for him as living sacrifices. Daily. And so it doesn't look like a thing we do. It's a way we live. It's a path we walk as we live for him every day of our life, because he has already won the victory. He's already won. We just have to live out that victory. Now, Paul continues to say that this mystery has now been revealed and made known to the prophetic writings by commands of the eternity God to advance the obedience of faith among the Gentiles. The elect. Now, a lot of people like to argue about what the elect is, what the elect's not, and all. But Paul already tells us what the elect is. The elect is that God has chosen that all people will have the opportunity to know Jesus Christ. That's what Paul's talking about in the book of Romans. That's what Paul's talking about. That the Gentiles would come to know Christ. I thank God that he chose to let the Gentiles, because I'm a Gentile. I'm not a Jew. Trace my ancestry back to Germany so far, after 10 or 12 different generations, and no Jews. Thank God, the elect. God has chosen the Gentiles can accept Christ. The gospel is universal. All races, all backgrounds, all status through Christ Jesus Christ. All. So it means in church, the thing that gathers us together, church, people, is it gathers us together in groups that we would never do without Christ. Because we like to divide ourselves. But there's one thing that we're not divided on, and that's Jesus Christ. Or shouldn't be, anyways. Through Christ, God's plan revealed to the whole world. Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. You go back and look at the Old Testament prophecies, it's Jesus. Unlocking the mystery that God's good news is for everyone. And faith leads to obedience, and obedience glorifies God. Isn't that what Micah says? Your whole duty of man is to obey God, fear God, and obey his commandments? We're going to go through Ecclesiastes soon. I'll give you a little hint. He says the same thing. As we are called to share the gospel, we're called to reveal the mystery to others. That's the Great Commission. God's salvation extends beyond just me and myself. We are an individualistic society. We like to think about me, myself, and I. Absolutely. Selfie. We like to think that way. We like to think Christ's salvation is about me, myself, and I. We like to think the sins are about me, myself, and I. I got to tell you, there are societal sins too. There are societal roles. And God's plan for salvation extends beyond us. It's for the whole world. And our role is to manifest that truth, living out our obedience, living out that obedience as individuals, as a collective, as we are Laughlin Community Church, so that others may know and glorify God. Our role is to bring others into glorifying God. And glorifying God forever. And that's what he concludes this little sentence with. To only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. Salvation for all people is through Jesus Christ. For God's glory. In his infinite wisdom, he has orchestrated a divine plan that's so fun to trace through the whole Old Testament. Go and trace. You can jump too quickly to Jesus in the Old Testament and miss some important things there. but so fun to pass what see what Jesus has, what God has done through the Old Testament, revealing Jesus Christ and his plan that he may become like one of us. Fully God, fully man. Fully God, fully man. Die. And that's what we're celebrating on Christmas, right? We're celebrating that Jesus came and lived a life. He didn't just die. He didn't just raise. He lived a life as a fully man, fully God. So that song, No Crying He Made, right, is a lie. Because he was a man. If he didn't cry, he's not a man. In fact, we slap babies when they come out of there, so they make sure they cry. It draws in the breath, gets them switched over from the... Jesus wept. Amen, brother. And through Christ, we give glory to God forever. And it empowers us to reflect back on the glory that God is... We live so that the glory, his glory reflects back on the world and on him himself. We give glory back to God. We glorify God. And we should be living for that purpose. And we understand the revealed mystery of the gospel that changes our very lives. And this doxology is a reminder to lift our eyes to the only wise God who has made known to us this glorious plan of salvation through Jesus Christ. And as we think about this doxology, it's a beautiful doxology, but there has to be next steps to it. There has to be things that come next. There has to be things that follow. Because the mystery is no longer hidden, right? So therefore, we have to live a revealed Christ. We have to live a strengthened life because we have the revealed Christ. And we live in obedience because we have a revealed Christ. He's not hidden to us. He's been made plain. This is Jesus Christ. The only reason it might be hidden from you is because you forgot to read about it. You forgot to listen about it. You forgot to hear about it. You closed your ears. You hardened your heart. That's the only reason it might be hidden from you. It's because you said no. And be to him, the only wise God, be the glory forever. Through Jesus Christ. Amen. And as we reflect on this, I mean, there's some practical next steps that we can take through this passage. One, we need to deepen our understanding of the gospel. You know, what you learned when you first became a Christian is the gospel, the good news. But it doesn't end there, does it? There's more to learn about the good news of Jesus Christ. As we study, as we learn more about Jesus, we learn what happened in the Old Testament. We continue to grow. We continue to understand. We continue to develop. We continue to study. Oof, dreaded four-letter word. We deepen our understanding. As we deepen our understanding of the gospel, we grow more in Christ. And we see God's plan for salvation through Jesus Christ unfolding in every chapter. And it changes the way we live our lives. If it doesn't change you as you become to understand it more, the gospel does not change. If you're reading the gospel and it's changing, you're reading it wrong. You're putting yourself into it. But if you're reading the gospel and you are not changing, you're reading it wrong as well. Because it changes how we live our lives. Step by step, we change as we deepen our understanding of what the gospel is and what God has done and how that affects us in our trauma walk, in our mental health walk, in our physical walk, in our, it changes our very aspect of life. It changes from the way we eat as we grow. It changes the way we decide we're going to do Bible study. It's decided what we watch on TV. It changes what we, because it changes us as we expand on the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we deepen our understanding of God. Another step we take is live in that power of the gospel. Not just say, well, I believe. Right? There's a hell line and a non-hell line. I just want to be over the hell line. I just want to get. No, I want to live out as living sacrifice. And we strengthen our walk with Christ daily, standing firm, inviting the Holy Spirit to empower us to deepen our relationship with Him. And making a habit of relying on the gospel power in the difficult moments. Because it's tempting for us to rely on other things. Self-help book. YouTube. I'm not saying YouTube is bad. I'm saying we rely on the Holy Spirit. Share the gospel with others. If nothing else you should read in this is that Paul was saying how beautiful this revealed mystery is, and we should be living out just like Paul, this desire to share the gospel. Share the gospel. And He's gifted us in different ways to make it so that you can share the gospel. You shouldn't be like the statistics. I know Laughlin Community Church is going to beat those statistics. If you go look at statistics, how many Christians share their faith in the last year? According to the statistics, it's really sadly low. Instead of treating the gospel like good news, we treat the gospel like it's, you know, troublesome or oppressive or something we want to maybe keep for ourselves, not for mine, but not thine. But we share the gospel. Paul very clearly, it's through this revealed mystery that is Jesus Christ, we should be giving glory to Him. Glory, if we're getting glory, if your football team wins, you're going to be telling other people. I've already heard some of you talking about your football team this week. And you didn't have anything to do with that. And it doesn't affect your life at all. Unless maybe you put some money on it. Which we have enough to have another conversation about that then. But Jesus Christ, how can we not share in the glory of Jesus Christ that changes the very life we live with good news? And we do it through conversation. We do it through acts of kindness. We do it. So I can't do anything else but invite someone to church. That's step one. You know, maybe you can do that. But we glorify, we should be glorifying God in all things, action, words, thoughts, seeking to bring glory to God. And that changes the way we live. As we worship Him, as we gather together in different community groups to worship Him. Worshiping Him doesn't have to just be, well, we talk about Jesus or we sing songs about Jesus. But worshiping Him while we bowl doesn't mean I have to talk about bowling, but we live a life that reflects Christ. Yes, it can lead to conversations about Christ, but it's about reflecting Christ as we go through our daily lives. So that we live that living sacrifice. We live the path of Christ. That's so much more powerful than just always being the one who talks about God and no one wants to be around, right? Because you live a life that reflects the glory of God. His love, His mercy, His truth. Heavenly Father, We thank you for revealing your mystery, your plan through Jesus Christ. Strengthen us by your gospel. Empower us to live the lives that you've called us to live. Help us to bring glory to your name in everything we do. We praise you for your wisdom. We praise you for including us in your glorious plan. We praise you for Jesus Christ, who has come, who has lived, who has died, and now lives again as we wait for his return. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. That starts the podcast, guys. That's why we have to go there. Now we can go back. And as a Christian, we're not left to our own strength. Praise God. Because where I am weak, he is strong. Where we are weak, he is strong. And we established by God through the gospel, giving us this stability, this time of truth. And it doesn't have to look like, well, I'm going to live for God when I go on this mission trip and then not when I'm doing this. It doesn't have to look like, well, I'm going to give my life in vocational, preaching my job. No, we live a life dedicated to Christ. That whatever your vocation is, whatever your situation in life, we live it for the glory of God. So that means not when we're at work, we're living for the glory of God. When we're in the TV, we're watching TV, we're watching for the glory of God. Some of you are like, I don't like that. Mm-mm. When we're in front of the computer, we're on the computer for the glory of God. Now that does not mean you're out there preaching on the computer. No one was won over to Jesus Christ by 256 characters on a tweet. It's just not how that works. We live so that whatever we're doing, whether you're working out, whether you're bowling, whether you're at the supermarket, you're driving down the road and there's idiots on the road, whatever we're doing is for the glory of Christ. Because we're finishing Romans, and he said, what are we supposed to be living as? Living sacrifices. Living sacrifices. And he's already won the victory. We just have to live that. It's not a choice. It's not a here. We live it here. We live it here. It's we live it in all areas of our life as we walk the path of Jesus Christ. We walk the way of Jesus. And Paul, he says, it's been revealed to us, made known through the writings, the commands of the eternal God in advance, in obedience of faith, and all the Gentiles. It's not just for the Jews or a secret few. He says it was chosen. God has elected. We like to argue about what elected means. But I'll tell you what it means for Paul. God has chosen that all have the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ. And I praise God he chose one family, one man, that created one family, that created one people group, to witness to the whole world. And I praise God. I praise God that he let the Gentiles in. Because I tell you what, I'm not a Jew. I'm not a Jew. I've traced my family lineage back 10 generations. No Jews yet. It ain't there. We're Gentiles. So I praise God. God has elected to say, you know what? All the world, the Gentiles included, can have this salvation through Jesus Christ. that he became, and what are we celebrating Christmas about? Is that he came to earth and lived a life fully God, fully man, lived a life so that we, he became one of us so that we could have the gift of eternal salvation, that we could have the path to walk. And he's going to die and be raised again. And now is sitting at the right hand of the Father who is in the heaven. And that universal gospel extending to all races, all backgrounds, all statuses. So that means the church is a place where people that normally wouldn't gather together because we worship one Jesus, unified. And that was the Old Testament mystery and good news for everybody. And that mystery that is revealed brings obedience. Brings obedience. And a transformed life. And that faith leads to obedience that glorifies God. And as believers, part of that is we reveal the mystery to others. We share Jesus Christ with others. I tell you what, I've already heard some of you talking about your football team and how good they or bad they did. You're sharing in their glory and you had nothing to do with it. And it doesn't change your life one bit. But Jesus, who's going to change your life, we have a tendency to be silent about. Jesus is going to change our lives. The process of changing the very... If you're reading the Bible and it changes, you're reading it wrong because the gospel doesn't change. But if you're reading the Bible and you're not changing, you're reading it wrong because you are in the process of being made new through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as we're obedient to him, we can't help. You shouldn't be able to help but share Jesus with others. Let Laughlin Community Church not be said that we're like other places where Christians do not share about Jesus. And we share him through the acts of kindness. We share him through the spiritual gifts that you have, conversations and otherwise. Now, don't be the person that's always preaching to someone that no one wants to be around. But you're living life for the glory of God. And glorifying God forever. That's why Paul ends it. He concludes it with, "To the wise God be the glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen." To the glory forever of Christ, the glory of God. It's all for his glory. Not for our glory, not for Laughlin Community Church glory, but for his glory. And so we live a life that when we make mistakes, we show what it means to make mistakes and say, you know what, I made a mistake. God is forgiving. I'm going to make a U-turn or a repent. I'm going to turn away from that mistake and head the other direction. And even in our mistakes, we can bring glory to God. Not that we go out purposely making it. I heard some of you. But God has orchestrated in a divine plan that all nations come to Christ. And we give glory to God forever. And forever. And by that, we reflect glory back to him. Giving glory to God. And as we are consumed by the mystery that's now been revealed, it transforms our minds, the renewing of our mind. We are compelled to live a way to point to God. And this doxology reminds us that this wise God who has made known, who is made known for us through the glorious plan of salvation through Jesus Christ. Oh, what a glory thing that is. What Jesus has done for you. What Jesus has done for us. And it's not just about us. It's not just about me. It's not just about our individualness. It's about us. We share the glory of God. We in our society like to make ourselves about individualism. You know, it's all about me. Our favorite picture is the selfie. Checking our post. See how many people responded. If not enough people respond, then did something wrong. Salvation isn't just for you and you alone. It's to be shared as we do life together, as we do life for the glory of Christ. And yes, one bad person can spoil a bunch, but we need to be moving forward in Christ. We need to be giving Him the glory. And as we think about, well, what is our next steps, right? What is our next steps? What do we do with this information? Because it's great. Praising God can be enough. But I tell you what, we're all walking a life. And if you're just sitting still in your pew, you're not walking, right? What do we do next with that? Well, I tell you what, the next thing we can do with this doxology is it reminds us to deepen our understanding of the gospel. Because when you accepted Jesus Christ, when you first came to Christ, and they were telling you about the love of Jesus, that was enough, and that is the full good news of Jesus Christ. But it has deeper understandings. And when you grow in that understanding, when you're studying the Old Testament, when you're going in and finding what the Bible has to say for you, beginning to end, and tracing the cross-references, I like to call them hyperlinks, all throughout the Scriptures, we see God's glory and we grow, and it changes us. As we grow in our understanding, it changes us. It makes us more than what we are so that we can become more than what we were as we become more like Him. That one day, when the roll is called of yonder, we get our new glorified bodies and we're fully glorified and we get to be like what we're supposed to be, and then I die, that what we're laid out to be in Genesis chapter 1. So we deepen our understanding. We live the power of the gospel. Live it. So our next step, for some of you, your next step is, you know what, you've got things in your lives that are stopping you from living out the power of the gospel. Some of you have got people in your past, maybe a person that went to church, because not everyone who goes to church is a follower of Jesus. And there have been people that go to church and they have hurt others. And so you go to church, and so when they say gospel or good news, you should like, ooh, I don't know if that's good news or not. Because there's cults that claim Jesus. There's people that claim Jesus that are doing things for themselves. There's people that are out to hurt others, people to grab power. But none of that is Christ. And we need to live out the power of the gospel in our daily lives. He strengthens us. He keeps us. He wraps us in His arms. And we need to be reflecting that in our daily lives as we try to heal the hurts where people have hurt. As we try to heal together. And so we reflect on relationships and work and our walk with God. There are places in our lives where we're not walking in the living and the power of Christ, of the gospel. Maybe there's a sin in your life that you've been a little too much focused on, right? I tell you, a sin that consumes you will take away the power of the gospel because it puts its focus in on it instead of God. What else does this passage remind us? This passage reminds us to share the gospel. Share the gospel. You know, the statistics are really quite sad. If you were to take a poll of the average church. Now, this is above average. I know you guys are great. The average church in the United States, and say, okay, how many of you have shared the love of Jesus Christ this year with someone? Be like a third of the church or less would be able to raise their hand. That means two-thirds of the church would not be able to raise their hand. Let this passage be a reminder that God be the glory forever. Amen. And we cannot live out His glory if we're not telling others. You could tell someone about your football team. You can tell him about Jesus. And we glorify God in all things. Joining together for worship, whatever that community group may look like. Communal worship like this. Worship in our lives as we bowl together, as we work out together, as we shop together, as we meet each other in the grocery store. That doesn't mean you're busting out singing all the time, but your very life is a worship of God, declaring Jesus Christ worth it. Because He is worth it. He is worth, and He's worthy of our praise. So we're reminded to live Christ through this doxology. I'm reminded right now of that doxology. I want to read it because I won't sing it. Praise God from all who blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise ye above all heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. I know you're thankful I didn't sing it, but those words are very true to us. As Paul's ending this passage, it reminds us to praise God in our daily lives. And we praise Him with all that we are. In everything we do. The question is, are we? Father God, Lord, I praise You. Father, I thank You for revealing the mystery of Your plan through Jesus Christ. As we are coming in on this Advent season, Lord, I pray that we can be reminded of Your revelation that has moved from beginning to end. Lord, I pray that You strengthen us in Your gospel, empowering us to live lives of obedience and help us to bring glory to Your name in everything we do. We praise You for Your wisdom. We praise You for introducing this glorious plan. We praise You for Jesus. Lord, I pray that we may have Your guidance, Your will, as we are strengthened by You. And that we may give You all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.